Hello and welcome to the Link Set Podcast. And today I'll be covering Friday the 13th Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. Or as most people call it, Jason Takes a Long Ass Boat Ride. The writer and director of this shit show is Rob Hedden. His cast includes Jensen Daggett as Rennie, Scott Reeves as her boyfriend Sean, Warren Munson as Sean's father and ship captain, Peter Mark Reichman as Rennie's uncle and chaperone on this trip, Charles, Barbara Bingham as Colleen, Martin Cummins as Wayne, V.C. Dupree as Julius, Kelly Hugh as Eva, Charlene Martin as Tamara, Saffron Henderson as J.J., Kane Hodder as Jason Voorhees, becoming the first actor to play Jason more than once, and we get Ken Kersinger as a cook in the diner. Kersinger would go on to play Jason Voorhees in Freddy vs. Jason. Rob Hedden has said in his original script that he had such things in it such as a chase across the Brooklyn Bridge, a boxing match in Madison Square Garden between Julius and Jason Voorhees, and scenes also taking place on Broadway and at the Statue of Liberty. Alas, Paramount decided that it would have cost too much, the cheap fucks, so it was decided to have much of the first part of the movie on the cruise ship, which I personally would think would be a good idea if the title was, I don't know, Jason Takes a Fucking Cruise, but it's not, so fuck it. Most of the city street scenes were shot in Vancouver, because it's cheaper. The only scenes in New York were some establishing shots at the beginning and at the end with our survivors running through Times Square. Kane Hodder has said the coolest thing he did in his career was playing Jason in the middle of Times Square, and he stayed in character the whole time while people cheered on either side. Again, like the first seven movies in the franchise, I got most of my research through the tremendous Crystal Lake Memories documentary. One good thing about this movie was they got creative with the kills from the get-go, so the MPAA didn't ass-rape this movie, much like they did in Part 7. And the results are some pretty cool kills, though they did still have to edit some of their already kind of watered-down kills. The New York City Tourism Board was very unhappy with the initial marketing material, which had Jason slashing through the iconic I Heart New York logo, and they threatened to sue. So Paramount changed their marketing campaign up. Kane Hodder appeared in character on the very popular The Arsenio Hall Show, where he didn't talk or anything, he just stared at Arsenio. And Kane Hodder said that Arsenio pulled the interview off very well, you know, interviewing someone who doesn't talk. This would be the last that Paramount was involved with the franchise until the reboot in 2009. Thus, in my opinion, and only my opinion, this is the end of the original Friday the 13th series, in my mind at least, especially when you get a full scope of things. Now, I know that's not technically true, but watching them all in close proximity, that is my thoughts. I look at the next two that our old pals at New Line made, and Freddy vs. Jason as more standalone episodic movies, but I'll get into that in the next two episodes. Friday the 13th, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan, was released on July 28th, 1989, and how appropriate is it that the first movie I covered was in 89, and we actually get a little kind of cameo from that movie, and now the 50th as well. It grossed $14.3 million against its about $5 million budget. It was and remains the lowest grossing film in the franchise. Let's take a look and see how Paramount once again, and finally for their part, decided to end the franchise. We started off with some establishing shots of New York with the most 80s song ever, The Darkest Side of the Night by a band called Metropolis. There isn't much out there about this band, and it's a totally different Metropolis than a German band of the same name from the 1970s. We have a voiceover guy who I think is supposed to be a radio DJ, spewing some incoherent bullshit that I will quote word for word as we get different shots of the city. It's like this. We live in claustrophobia, a land of steel and concrete, trapped by dark waters. There is no escape, nor do we want it. We've come to thrive on it and each other. You can't get the adrenaline pumping without terror, without the terror, good people. I love this town. Okay, bro, smoke another, you fucking idiot. They show dirty ass parts of the city, a guy getting mugged, and they just overall make New York look like a shithole. Who would ever want to go there after watching this? But we do get the advertisement for Batman in Times Square on a billboard, the little cameo I mentioned. And we get some, ads for Camel cigarettes, just so you know, we're still in the 80s. See some dudes doing heroin, and finally we get a shot of the Statue of Liberty before the camera goes underwater, and then we rise up on what looks to be a houseboat passing by Crystal Lake. And that is a pretty cool thing they did there, the going down on the statue and coming back up at Crystal Lake. We go inside the boat to see some teens about to fuck, and the radio host sends a shout out to Crystal Lake High and warns them of the City of Lights has many shadows or some bullshit like that. The dude goes to throw the anchor over, and when he comes back, he tells his girlfriend the story of Jason. We see the anchor get caught on an electrical cable that is just chilling in the lake for some reason, shocking Jason and resurrecting him once again. In this guy's retelling, we see Jason in a flashback drowning and does not appear to have a mental handicap in this flashback. And he drowns right next to a dock, so that's cool. We also hear him say that Jason drowned nearly 30 years ago. So that would put this at about 1989, the current year it was shot in, according to that, but who knows with this fucking continuity. While Jason is being shocked back to life, we see the power go out at what we can assume is an abandoned Camp Crystal Lake. If it's not abandoned, I don't know why there's power, but the grass isn't cut, and I don't know. You're going to hear that a lot with this movie. No one knows what's fucking going on. I don't even think Rob Hedden knew what the fuck was going on. Susie sends her boyfriend to check on the noises she has heard, and we see Jason gone from the lake bed and his chains that were holding him falling to the bottom. Jimmy, the boyfriend, pops out with a hockey mask and a fake knife to scare poor old Susie. Not the best idea if you're trying to get some pussy, you fucking idiot. And it just so happens that Jimmy's mask has all the marks and is broken and beat up in the same place Jason's old mask was. How convenient. Jason, who is covered in slime or whatever the fuck, boards the boat, grabs a spear gun, stabs the fuck out of Jimmy, who just sits there and looks at him like a dope while Susie flees out the window. Susie does the dumb asshole trip of hiding in a cargo area on the boat. And Jason opens that shit and stabs her hard. She just lays there and takes it like she was getting ready to take what Jimmy had to offer. I'm so sick of people just hiding in places and not trying to flee. It's ridiculous at this point. We cut to the next morning and see kids are boarding the cruise ship Lazarus to depart from Manhattan on their senior trip. We meet our main girl, Rennie, who was brought to the ship by one of her teachers who was also serving as a chaperone, and she gifts Rennie with an old-ass pen Stephen King supposedly used in high school. Terrible acting from Rennie here. And pretty much throughout the whole movie. She's out of the business, no wonder. She is the fucking worst. We see the boat Jim and Susie were on pulling into the dock. Well, apparently Crystal Lake connects to the ocean, and if that isn't bad enough, the boat was anchored, and even if it wasn't, why would Jason leave on the boat? Why would he stay on it while it drifts out of Crystal Lake? He wouldn't. Charles, who is a teacher chaperone, has it out with Colleen for showing up late, and he is further irate to see Rennie coming along, as she is his niece and she's afraid of the water. Rennie's dog has accompanied her, and we also learn in this conversation that Charles has with Colleen, the other teacher chaperone, that he is Rennie's legal guardian. We see the boat admiral give command to his son, who is also Rennie's boyfriend, Sean. Sean's dad gifts him with some kind of computer for navigating the seas. Sean gives his departure plan, but forgets to blow the horn and radio the other ships that they are leaving. Sean gets pissed at his dad being overbearing and storms out. Lots of moody angst in this one. We see Jason climbing aboard the ship from a rope over the side, and the deckhand warns Sean that the voyage is doomed, to which Sean agrees. The deckhand thought he saw Jason on Jim's boat when it was going by, which, I mean, obviously he was. We see the teens skeet shooting, playing shuffleboard and at a dance, and generally having an awesome time, I guess. Sean sees Rennie and is shocked she is there. Sean gives her a present, and it's a necklace with a charm of the Statue of Liberty. Two things. Why would he have it with him if he wasn't expecting her to be on the trip? And why would he have the necklace before they went to New York? I guess logic escapes everyone and everything in this fucking movie. Charles was watching this and tells Sean his father wants him, and he goes to talk to Rennie. Charles is a real scumbag, as we'll come to find out. We see a chick playing guitar and her friend Wayne filming her. JJ takes her guitar and amp down to the bottom of the boat to get some echo in an empty hall, while Wayne goes to shoot something for who we can tell by the dialogue between JJ and Wayne is the resident hot butt bitch chick in this movie. JJ heads below deck and we see Jason behind her. Charles tries to talk to Rennie and take her back to shore, which she refuses. She's scared of the water and she doesn't know why. Charles knows why. JJ starts jamming out and stops when she sees and hears Jason. She sets her guitar down and runs down a set of steps, only to find Jason holding her guitar and, he kills her with it. This movie is the first in the franchise to introduce teleportation. So that's just wonderful. They never expressly say that, but there's quite a few times in this movie where Jason's behind someone and then he's in front of someone. It's stupid. It's fucking stupid. We cut to Rennie talking to her dog in the cabin, and we see Rennie changing, and she has a vision of a boy drowning outside her window, which apparently her dog sees as well, and he goes running out of the room like he senses another dog in heat. We see some of the guys boxing as Tamara and Eva watch, and they get wet over Julius, who KOs his opponent after his opponent gets distracted by the ladies watching from a window above. Tamara and Eva are about to do some coke when Rennie walks up on them while she is looking for Toby. They end up doing their coke, and Charles wanders in and asks if they are using drugs. Then he tells Tamara that he will be by her room in 15 minutes to check her biology project, and if it isn't done, she will have to remain on board while her classmates go explore the city. Okay, why the fuck is she even on the boat? If she didn't have her senior project done, why didn't they make her do it before she left? Why does she have to present it while they're on their voyage to New York? It's a plot device, but simple things like logic and common sense don't exist in this world. Or maybe in the writer's world, who the fuck knows? We see the guy who lost the boxing match against Julius in the sauna. Jason grabs one of the hot rocks and punctures it through the dude's stomach while he lays down on the bench talking. He has a towel over her face and he thinks the guy who walked in is Julius. Rennie and Colleen talk on deck when Tamara accidentally on purpose bumps into Rennie, sending her overboard. She figures that Rennie narked on her and Eva for doing the coke, and she knew that, or had heard that Rennie had a fear of water. Which probably made bathing a fucking nightmare for her. Jesus. And if she didn't bathe, that would have made it a nightmare for everybody around her. Specifically Sean and Charles. Rennie freaks out and tries to stay afloat. Here I notice that the boat isn't fucking moving at all. It looks like it's at a dead stop. What the actual fuck? It seems Rennie is being pulled under by a little boy, but it looks to be a different boy than before, but I guess it's supposed to be the same one. Sean jumps in and saves her. Good guy that he is. He should have just let her perish, that way we could have been spared from her the rest of this fucking shit show. We cut to Tamara and Eva. Tamara thinks it's fucking hilarious, and we can see that Eva seems pretty disgusted by the whole thing and walks away from her friend. Charles sees Rennie all soaked and freaks out and tells Colleen and Sean to both stay away from her, even though they were trying to help and he's a cock goblin. The deckhand warns Jason is back and they are all gonna die. Must be a relative of Crazy Ralph's. Rennie runs away from Uncle Creepo and heads into the bathroom. A faucet is running and red water that looks like blood comes out and she screams. Then another little boy who doesn't look like either of the first two boys pops out of a mirror and chokes her for a minute and then he disappears back into the mirror. I guess that it is supposed to be the same kid. It was, I believe it was the editor's son. I saw it on not on the Crystal Lake Memories documentary, but it was on another, it was on a featurette inside the, Blu-ray, on the Blu-ray disc, where they talked about who played Kid Jason. We go to Tamara's room, where she intends to, present her project. And Charles is pissed when she offers him champagne and such. She disrobes and is in lingerie, and has her organs written on her. She kisses Charles and tries to mount him in bed. He pushes her off and tries to lay down the law, but is shocked to see Wayne film them making out on the bed. He threatens both of them and storms off. Wayne tries to put the moves on Tamara, but she ushers him out. She ain't falling for that shit. Wayne walks off, and after we see him turn down the hall, Jason pops out. He was hiding in the room next to Tamara's. We see a storm a-brewing outside, and we cut to Tamara finishing up in the shower. There's a funny side note on this. The actress was very uncomfortable about doing nude scenes, so Rob Hedden, the director, stripped down nude while he was filming it so she wasn't alone, which that's very redeeming quality for him. I'm not sure I would have done that, but good for him. Of course, I ain't got much to show, so. She hears a noise and she hears a noise outside and peeks out the bathroom door to see Jason entering her room. Jason breaks through the door and grabs at her, but just manages to get her robe. She runs headfirst into the mirror on the wall in an attempt to get away from him and busts herself open. My God, she has a crimson mask. She sinks down in the corner as he enters and he picks up a broken shard of the mirror as she tries to cover herself with a towel and just keeps saying no over and over and over again instead of, I don't know, trying to fucking escape. We cut to the Admiral and his first mate. The Admiral asks his cohort about his son and warns him not to push him too hard. The Admiral goes to take a break or check on something, and we see Jason come behind the first mate, stab the fuck out of him, killing him. The Admiral comes back to check on his fallen comrade and gets a backwards machete throat slice in slow motion for his troubles. So, that a nice little callback. Sean and Rennie go to talk to his dad and ask if the Coast Guard can come get Rennie and him. He's never going to be what his dad wants him to be. When he gets there, he finds his dead pops, so he radios the whole ship and asks everyone to meet him at the bridge. Sean radios the Coast Guard as the people begin to show up. Jason, who we can safely presume has never been on a ship before, except for the one he rode in, sailed in on, I guess, knew exactly where the line ran to the radio beacon outside, and he rips that motherfucker out. The deckhand emerges and says it's Jason, and he saw him aboard the boat that came down the river. So I guess that's how the lake connects to the ocean by way of river. It's still kind of fucking stupid, though. Charles assumes the killer is the deckhand. Julius rallies the troops to go look for the killer against Charles' wishes. We see Rennie out trying to drop the anchors because, you know, if there's a psycho killer roaming free on a boat, you send your girlfriend out alone. Charles goes and gets her, but he's being a major ass in the process, but that's nothing new for that piece of shit. I do kind of agree with him. Why the fuck would you send your, you know, send her out by herself? Eva goes to Tamara's room to look for her, and she finds her all right, dead. Bleeding all over the place like she got her period all over her body. Eva exits and sees Jason at the end of the hall. So she runs into an empty dance hall, and we get a really dizzy, disorienting effect of the camera spinning in circles, and everywhere this bitch looks, Jason's there. Until she doesn't see him anymore and thinks that maybe he left, but he just picks her up and chokes her to death. Cut back to the teen boys who gathered up some weapons, and they all take one and go to look for the killer. We follow Wayne as he heads down to where JJ asked him to go shoot a video. A steam vent blows, knocking his glasses off his face, causing him to be mostly blind. Someone jumps in front of him, and we see he shoots him, and we see through the camcorder lens that it's a worker on the boat we saw earlier. So Wayne committed murder. Then Jason hops out and knocks Wayne's camera away. Wayne runs away and ends up tripping and falling over JJ's guitar. Wayne moin moins he moins his friend. Wayne mourns his friend for a moment before Jason picks him up and throws him onto some kind of electrical panel, killing him. Charles comes back to the bridge where Sean is trying to get the ship back on course. And Charles has a little tiff with Colleen, and Charles says he's the son of a captain. He should be able to operate this thing for Christ's sakes. Well, Charles, you big dildo, that's not how life works. I'm the son of a welder. Does that mean I know how to weld? A little bit, but not very much. Charles is the worst parental figure in the franchise and a massive cunt, and it's gonna be fucking awesome when his suit-wearing ass gets kilt. Fuck you, Charles. We cut below deck and see Wayne's body catching fire, and it spreads to some flammable shit near the body. Jason hits the fire alarm, so at least he is courteous. Charles grabs the flare gun out of a case and intends to shoot the deckhand. We again see the fire spreading, this time near a fuel tank. Jason kills one of the teens hunting him by climbing up after him when the teen goes to flee to the crow's nest because, you know, we get these fucking idiots who decide, well, let me go somewhere with no escape. Jason follows him, throws him down, and it impales him on a radio beacon. Jason throws Julius overboard, who happened upon his friend's body. Rennie is now seeing the little boy in her room begging her for help, but the adult Jason breaks a window and grabs her. But she stabs him in the eye with her fancy pen, and he lets go and retreats. Sean busts in and comforts her as the power room down below blows up where the fuel and everything was. I guess it's the fuel room, but Sean called it the power room. Colleen tells some of the kids to wait in the restaurant while she goes to look for the others. We see Jason watching this outside the window. Charles searches the kitchen for the deckhand, The deckhand takes a swipe at Charles with a butcher knife, but then runs off. Sean and Rennie see the ship floating, see the ship flooding, and the engine room door comes bursting open with flood water. As Sean and Rennie get to the upper deck, Charles blames Sean for everything, which is ludicrous, and I don't mean the rapper. Sean finally stands up for himself with some of the most unconvincing dialogue and acting in the series. I think Sean made the real life actor. He was on a lot of daytime soap operas, so that checks out. Sean informs Colleen that there is no more restaurant when she says she has to go get the others, which she takes quite well. She may be the OG fuck them kids. We see the deckhand come around the corner as they make their way to the lifeboat, and he falls over with a fire axe sticking out of his back. As if all this isn't enough, lightning strikes the ship. Our four survivors get to their boat, start rowing away, when all of a sudden Julius pops out of the water, and they rescue him and row off. Charles is a dick to Sean as they try to find shore, and Julius gives Sean some words of encouragement. Later that night, Julius sees the Statue of Liberty and excitedly awakens everyone and starts singing as we see the skyline of New York City in the darkness behind them. Name of the movie. Well, sub name, whatever they call it. Jason Takes Manhattan. They dock the boat and are on New York, Vancouver, soil at 1 hour, 4 minutes and 14 seconds into a movie that is an hour and 40 minutes. Misleading title, to say the least. Charles, of course, has a problem with where Sean docked the boat, though it is a sketchy neighborhood, I suppose. As they walk toward the city, Jason pops out of the water, begging all sorts of questions. Did he follow them? If so, why didn't he just try to tip the lifeboat they were in? Why did he get so good at swimming? Or when did he get so good at swimming? Why should anyone give a fuck about any of this? Jason sees a billboard with a hockey mask on, and it's supposed to be comedy. Our remaining survivors are mugged by two heroin junkies that we did see in the opening credits. They take Rennie with them and tell the others they will kill her if they follow. So Charles has a bright idea to all split up and look for the police. And you gotta remember, you know, we're in the 80s, no beepers, cell phones, anything, so just Christ. The junkies take her to where they sleep on the street, apparently, and shoot her up with some drugs. One of them goes to have his way with her, but is killed by Jason, who stabs a syringe used to drug Rennie through the son of a bitch. Good. The other junkie walks around the corner and shoots Jason to no effect. Jason smashes his face against a steam pipe, killing the guy as Rennie runs away. We see Julius calling the police on a payphone, but Jason smashes the side of the booth in, causing Julius to flee to the rooftop with no escape. Jason follows him, and Julius throws punches at Jason, and he eventually tires himself out. I think Kane Hodder said in the Crystal Lake Memories documentary that it was 66 punches, and they were real punches. He was really trying to get it. That Kane Hodder was all padded up as Jason, so it, you know, he said of course it was hurting, but Julius tells Jason to take his best shot, motherfucker, and when he does, Jason knocks Julius's head off with one punch, and it sails down into a dumpster, and the lid slams shut after it. It is the best kill in the movie, and definitely a top five in the franchise overall. Rennie wanders around the streets disoriented until Sean finds her, and then they go find the others, and apparently this stops her disorientation. Charles got a cop, and they see Colleen. Rennie and Sean find them as well, and they tell the cop the story of Jason, and the cop says, and this is another direct quote, "I find it a tall tale indeed, but you seem like honest folk, so I'm inclined to believe some of what you say." What the fuck is that bullshit? No one, especially a cop, would believe that nonsense. And I did that in a Canadian accent, by the way, because this cop has a fucking Canadian accent. supposed to be Jason Takes Manhattan, but he sounds like a fucking Canuck. No problem with anybody in Canada, but if this movie's supposed to take place in New York, they should sound like they're from fucking New York. The four of them pile into the back of the police car and freak when they see Julius's head on the dash. There's not enough seatbelts for everyone back there, so what in the fuck? Jason grabs the cop from behind, and Rennie slides into the front seat. No cage separating the front and back seat in this fucking car, apparently. Jason then does his teleportation trick and is directly in front of the car, and Rennie runs his ass over. She has another vision of child Jason, and she wrecks into a wall. Sean, Rennie, and Charles make it out of the car, but it catches fire and blows up before they can get Colleen out. Rennie stares at a puddle surrounded by fire on the ground and has a deep-seated memory coming back to her. She is out on Crystal Lake with Uncle Charles, and he tells her that the Voorhees boy is at the bottom of the lake and he pulls down any kids that can't swim. So Charles pushes her in, and little Jason pulls the little Rennie down, and we cut back to current day. She confronts her uncle and runs off away from him. Sean shoves Charles down and tells him to stay away from Rennie, and he runs after her. Jason gets up, and Charles finally accepts the fact that this is the real Jason Voorhees, and he runs away from him as well. Charles enters a building, but I guess Jason teleported in there because we see Chuck come flying out the window and land on the pavement like the piece of shit he is. Jason then picks him up and drowns Chuckles in a disgusting ass barrel of toxic waste, complete with dead rat on top. This cocksucker had it coming. Fuck him. Glad he finally got it. Get out of here. Sean catches up to Rennie, who is just chilling in an alley. We learn her parents died in a car accident. Everyone she cares about, she loses, yada yada. Emo bullshit, fucking teenage girl bullshit, fuck you, who cares? Sean and her kiss, but their moment is ruined by Jason crashing through some garbage, sending them on a run for their lives again. They run into the subway and manage to get aboard a car. However, they see Jason in the car in front of them, causing them to flee to the back. Sean pulls a lever, causing an emergency stop, and they slip out the back door. Sean jumps and tackles Jason as Jason exits the car, electrocuting him on the rails. And apparently no one in the fucking subway, you know, in the subway cars thought this was strange or a big deal or nothing. They just went on about their business. Sean and Rennie step out of the subway and into Times Square, and that occurs at 1 hour, 25 minutes, and the 29-second mark. Quick reminder, this is Jason Takes Manhattan, and this movie is 1 hour and 40 minutes. Fuck you and your false advertising. They think everything is alright, but little do they know, Jason is behind them. Rennie does turn and sees him and takes off. Jason walks by some young punks and kicks their boombox, and when they threaten him, Jason lifts his mask and the kids run away. I do find that bit pretty funny. We cut into a diner where a waitress puts her cigarette out on some eggs, which is hilarious on a few levels. Sean and Rennie go into the diner and ask to call the police. And when they tell her that a maniac is trying to kill them, she smiles and replies, "Welcome to New York." And this is the first New York accent, or the first inkling that anybody in this fucking city could have been from New York in the whole movie. Jason then breaks through the doors. Here is where we get the Ken Kersinger cameo as he goes to confront Jason. Jason throws him over the counter like the sack of shit he is. Sean and Rennie make it out of the diner, but come to a dead end, so they go down an empty manhole. They run through the sewers and eventually run into a worker down there who tells them they have to get out soon because every night at midnight, the sewers flood with toxic waste. Jason, of course, cuts them off during their escape attempt. Jason kills the city worker and goes to kill Sean, but Rennie shines a flashlight in his eyes and gets his attention. So Jason pursues her. Rennie opens a 5-gallon bucket of toxic waste and throws it right in Jason's fucking face. He removes his mask and makes some otherworldly screams as Rennie runs back to Sean. She wakes him up and they start climbing a ladder out, but the covering is stuck and they can't get out of the sewer. The toxic waste floods the sewer, but they are far enough up the ladder where they're okay. We see Jason being melted, and when the sewer is empty, we see Kid Jason laying on the sewer floor. They make it out, and Sean gives her the Statue of Liberty necklace back that the junkie ripped off Rennie earlier, and her dog Toby makes it back to them. The junkie tried to shoot at him, so the dog ran off. They head to the real statue as The Darkest Side of the Night plays and credits roll over images of Times Square. Positives: some cool kills, pretty dope soundtrack. Negatives: a very misleading title. The actors and characters suck. It seems no one is having any fun in that fucking ending. And originally, the ending was supposed to be a child Jason coming out of the large Jason's mouth. Glad that they cut that shit out, because that would have been just awful. The child Jason is bullshit. I did see some fan theories that Jason really got washed away with the toxic waste and that she's just having a vision, but I call bullshit. That's fine if you want to go with that theory, and I suppose it's the only way to explain how he pops back up again, but it's still fucked. Overall, very cool concept. Terrible execution. If they just did the whole thing on the boat, that would have been fine if they had advertised it as such. But once again, it's Jason Takes Manhattan. They could have even just had the city in there as a surprise at the end. But no, they went all the way with the marketing. Leave it to this franchise to overpromise and underdeliver. It goes back to the first saying that it was the most terrifying movie ever made. I give it a thumbs down. Admittedly, it's a guilty pleasure. I hated it the first time I saw it, but I hate it a little less now. I just despise the promise of Jason Takes fucking Manhattan. And it's the stupid ass flashbacks of Jason, and to me, it doesn't even look like the same fucking kid at all. However, this is Citizen Kane compared to the next movie. Next week, I'll take a look at Jason Goes to Hell, the final Friday, where they intended to kill Jason for good once again. Don't forget to follow on Twitter and like on Facebook, and join me next time.